to Over, channel to Over, and this is a session after lunch, and we sat out in the yard a little while, and then I played the Hughes Rudd and the Tuttles of New Hampshire to Mr. and Ms. Nealon, and we started just like we were, except Rick and Mr. Nealon stayed in the kitchen. I went in with Ms. Nealon. Rick and Mr. Nealon. Channel 2 Over, after lunch, Rick and Mr. Nealon in the kitchen, while Ms. Nealon and the rest of us were in Mamu's room. Channel 2 Over, this Wednesday, the 8th of August, 73, Rick and Mr. Nealon in the kitchen.
I said, now you can get all you want. And then I went to the next county like that. We got about 6 million planted that year. The first year that went in, that made the State Forest Service sick because they looked bad then with the forestry industries, which they want behind them. That's where they get their support.
So the pop people helped you there.
They helped on that, yeah.
Yeah,
that.
They helped out big. They wanted something done, but they couldn't get it done through the State Forest Service. So they called on me.
Who was Bill? Was he the guy that took all the trees?
Who is or Bill who?
You said you were talking to Bill about taking the trees, the county agent.
No, he just used her name.
Oh,
yeah.
To illustrate, that's all. It was no particular person.
No,
it was county agent wide.
Bill, John, James, Jim, or whoever it was, doesn't matter.
He must have known a good
but
number of
them. The main thing was they were willing to get the trees distributed, but the Forest Service, fighting extension as usual, wouldn't let them have any.
Well, professional jealousy is a ruinous thing. You find it everywhere.
Yeah. I was making too much progress in that field.
Well, now
they're going to cut me off.
Well, now you didn't have to go out in the field and plant the trees.
Oh, no.
No.
Well, now Blitch had to do that?
The farmer got his instructions from the county agent, and where necessary, I told him what trees to plant on what soil he had.
Oh, you'd go out and see the
soil. I would go out there and make sure they knew what to do, but most of them knew what to do. They just couldn't get trees. Their soil was suitable for slash pine.
Uh-huh.
Well, then
the county agent knew it.
You talked to the farmers as well as the
oh,
county
yes.
agent.
Oh,
right.
Yes, definitely.
Right to the farmer. Unless I went there, I didn't think I did any good. You can't call them up and give them instructions or send them a bulletin and give them much service. You got to be there with him and hear him and see what he has. Then you can give him some intelligent advice if you have any.
Well, I guess some of those fellows must still be operating. Some of those farmers, they must still be operating.
Oh, yes, there's plenty of them still operating. Of course, now and then you run across a fellow that won't plant any pines. I can't afford to wait 15 years or 20 for income. Well, I said, you're waiting 15 or 20 years anyway. You might as well wait on something as nothing.
You know what I'd do? I think I'd be tempted to go back and visit some of those fellows just to see how the trees were doing.
Well, see, that's shortly before I retired, all that. And I would have been glad to check on that. But
we have checked on some planting.
Yeah.
Where was that?
You can't check on them all.
No.
Will you check on them
check
around here?
Check on in West Florida in many places. They got
some see
nice
a lot
planting.
Of cedar plantings. He recommended cedar for Christmas trees,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see those in
they're
small lots.
They're beginning to show here and there. You see a patch of them, but nobody promoting anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could at least go and kind of catch up on the news with those fellas.
Did they remember you? They'd remember you when you went back.
Oh, yes, everybody does, and especially the county agents. I've managed to, if I travel around at all, and I can't travel much, I stopped to see him. See, one always delighted to see him.
They are.
Yeah. Still are. Still are.
Boy, I don't think I'd be on the road all the time if I could. Then.
Well, it costs you money, you know, and
you know,
I'm on a very modest retirement.
It sounds like you can just knock on about any door around
here
and
they
know you.
I spend a lot of money. If you paid for what I did out there in hardwoods alone, the labor, day labor wages, $25,000 wouldn't touch it.
Mr. Nealon, you could just
17 years of hard work.
You could about go anywhere and just stop for supper, couldn't you?
Well, maybe I could, yeah. But then that isn't all. You have so many requests. You know, whenever the top foresters at the School of Forestry get bogged down in practicalities, who do you suppose finds the answer? The county agents.
Oh, really?
The state extension forester, because those people are not accustomed to the woods and the soils and the practicalities of the thing. I don't blame them. They're not supposed to know. They're teaching. But don't expect them to go out there and give anybody advice. I took one of them out with me one time to a forestry meeting. It was in this county. He said, I'd like to attend one of your farm forestry meetings out in the country. And I said, all right, I'll have you with me next week. I've got to go out. And the farmer had quite a bit of land that could be put into trees. And I introduced him, Dr. So-and-so, and School of Forestry. And one of them popped right up with a practical question. What kind of trees should I plant on this land? That's a practical question. Ask Nealon. That was exactly the tone. See, you have to know something about soil and something about many things, how well a tree might be adapted to that particular soil. And Florida soils are so spotty, you can find 5 different soil types on 20 acres sometimes. So you have to know your soil, but after a lifetime nearly of study, you learn something. You don't learn it out of a book either. I like the book. You need that. That's basic. That gives you some tools. Then you have to learn how to use those tools.
Well, the trouble is, too, now they're not letting the county agents out. They're asking them to work from a desk, and I don't see that's going to work at all.
Not the way. Not going to make any progress. Well, I wish I could think of some of those personal questions, Dr. Miles. If you could get it ever through my thick head, just what type of stuff you need. You think you folks need? I'd dig it up if it was available.
Well, Mr. Neal, let me tell you, you've told us so much, you know, that you never would use all that. You told us so much. I don't know. I think a lot of times, like you said, taking this man out there. See, that's one of the experiences. Now, it's still loaded, and it's still what I'd call political. It's still shop talk. You see, it's still professional talk.
Yeah.
If I could get out of that, for a while,
mm-hmm.
and just talk to the farmer. And just let him go.
What he thinks and what he knows and what he thinks
right.
he knows.
That's right. Just like you went out and you were talking, you know, like you went out sometime and talked to the farmer about planting the trees and what happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What kind of dog he'd got. You know, just little pictures of all those things.
Kind of like what a day would be like.
That you know so much about.
Well, the thing is so greatly varied No two problems hardly ever are precisely the same. That's the reason I have to be there to look at his situation. You can't generalize. You may give him some poor advice.
Well, you don't have to generalize. Be specific.
Can we take just a little bit of short break? I didn't get a break a while ago. Let's stretch just a minute.
Okay.
Couldn't you handle that for
sure.
us?
Sure. Oh, I tell you what. Let's sort of stretch our knees a minute.
Yeah, I got to let this lunch kind of.
A premise for industrialized farms, you know, big tractors and everything like that. The small farmer just isn't in the picture at all, and it simply gets me so enraged when I sit there and I can't talk back, because, you know, they're just building up this thing of, you know, this grand acreage and everything.
You don't have 300 or 400 acres,
and
you
the
don't
old
have
farmer
a farm.
Has a terrible life, nothing terrible about it.
You know, Faye, I hadn't thought about it, but this little thing on the Tuttles, you know, Mr. Nealon could talk to him about the hardwoods, and he could also let him listen to the Tuttles, or some such thing as that.
Yeah.
It's a sort of feeling that would transfer.
Yeah,
not only about
especially
it.
like Ms. Nealon says, for the small farmer.
Yeah. Well, you see, people really lived a better life. Now we're all rushed, we're all mechanized, and we don't have the feel of the ground, we don't have the feel of anything but to get there fast.
Uh-huh.
And the roar of the noise of the tractor.
And when you talk to them about the trees, or, you know, you could, this would be part of it, this small farm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
Of course, on television, and Mr. Tuttle walked up and down there where his corn was about so high.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had the same feeling about corn. There's something about growing corn that is about as close to the outdoor world as you can get.
I love it. I used to raise
it. And you know what they're doing now? They're machine harvesting it. They have a machine that goes down and takes the ears off and then stacks them at the end of the thing, and then I think something else to pick them up.
Yeah. Well, now, let me tell you, Mr. Nealon, you see, I'm not in your field, and this, I've got some copies of the things we've done. I'll let you have them. I should have done that before. But, you see, these programs that you are interested in, all I can do is just barely mention them.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it would be hypocritical.
Oh, naturally, you can't do all that.
Yeah.
You can't show
it all.
It'd
be hypocritical for me to talk about
the
program.
Mentioning is all that's necessary.
So, you see, I what we do will be directed towards different people who don't even know what programs are.
Yeah.
Now, so that's, you get into this, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see what you all heard. I could hear part of what you were saying about never leave a stub.
Mm.
Oh yeah.
Well, you see, you are expert at that talk. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see, he can just walk along, Ms. Nealon, and talk about things like that.
That's right.
And I mean, it sounds like the master himself.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, he talks well. I don't mean he just hits at it, but I mean, he talks so well.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing shabby or crummy about
and
that sort
got,
of talk that he does.
And I think talking's the worst thing I do.
Well, it's the most thing you do.
Anyway, he's encouraging.
Yeah. But,
you want the human side of it, don't you?
Yeah.
That's
it.
That's right.
Yeah,
just
a little bit. When you go in the county agent's office or go out with him.
Yeah.
Now, like this, Debbie, where is that?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's a beautiful little piece
this
there.
This county agent who wrote and said,
how he liked to go out riding with you.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd use that, the way you talk and carry on with him. Now, see, that's a person that
that's
you're talking about,
nice.
The person
Yes,
just what it was like when you go out riding with him.
Yeah.
And what you'd talk about and what you'd look at together.
Oh, yes. He always liked to have me mention something in the Scottish brogue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Course, you know, it
did you see what he said in there? I think it was that letter said it was really turned him down.
Now, I can't hear it. I can't understand it. And think of that, Mr. Neil. Try it again.
Well, the Scotsman he was talking about, he had proposed to his girlfriend, and when he got home, he had to make himself a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, a nice wee cup of tea.
Because
you see, the excitement of the proposition was the cause of my thirst. They're all there are so much.
Yes, yeah.
And so I've always enjoyed them. I used to have Scotch neighbors, and I just enjoyed hearing them talk because of the way they could roll those R's.
Yeah.
And their way of being very tight with their money, you know.
Yeah.
Careful. Spend the dime.
Well, you see, he's a linguist too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Says he was out away from his girlfriend, you know, and says, "Talk about a fellow that's been doing a bit of scraping and saving. I'm the fellow." He says, "For the last 3 months, I haven't even bought a box of matches, but of course, I have borrowed one now and then."
The way my neighbors borrow sugar or butter or something, come over and take it and say, "Can may they borrow it? You never see it back."
Well, they have something. I think the Scotch people do. I enjoy them always. They're a wee bit close.
So one of the nicest experiences we had when we lived in Flagler County, we went down to Daytona to hear Harry Lauder. See, this is part of his, one of his records. And the big thrill was that auditorium was practically all Scotch people.
Oh, really?
From around his area.
Yeah.
And if you ever saw a crowd bubble over, that was the crowd. It was just their reactions.
Yeah.
It was such a treat to hear somebody from their hometown and reflect their home culture and everything. It was really exciting.
Yeah.
Well, they have something, and the Irish do too.
Everybody has something. You just have to dig a little once in a while to find out what it is.
You had Scotch neighbors.
Yeah, we had some down in Flagler County.
Yeah.
Muirs. M-U-I-R-S. Muirs.
Yes. I wonder if that's a common name.
Yeah. Who was the other, the man that used to sell me the berries?
Oh, yeah, McNaughton.
McNaughton.
He was really Scotch.
And he raised these berries that were sort of a cross between a raspberry and a blackberry. They were delicious, and that was the time that Louis was up doing tractor work, you know, and just be home for weekends, so I'd always get 2 quarts and make a pie. And so, you know, one time he came by and he says, "You know, I could sell these in Palatka for 50 cents a box." I said, "Yes, Mr. McNaughton, but how are you going to get there?" And he couldn't answer me on that.
That's Scotch means Scotch.
Yeah.
But that was a Scotch coming out, you know.
Well,
also,
we
I'm Scotch,
really
too. We were living on 120 a month.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I think we better be heading off. It's getting towards the end of the afternoon.
We've about taken your day now.
We do have some other things to do some days.
Oh, you do?
Always, every day. Never catch up.
I think I have.
Well, let me tell you, we need one little short session, about half an hour.
Well, can I get a little closer to what you need, and
yes,
I'll try to dig it up.
All right.
Well, then you go have your conference, and we'll leave you alone.
Let us go right here.
Okay.
And, then we'll let you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to know, get closer to what you need.
Yeah. Come on in, Rick. So then.
What? Well, you got to have a sip?
seeing you enjoy that fan there.
When did you start going on those Western trips, Mr. Neal?
Oh, as soon as I could. I started the first time 5 years after we arrived here. Then I went again the next year, and then the war came on, and I couldn't go for about 10 years or more. But every other year for the last 20 years.
Every other year.
Yeah, I know the desert now. I know every cactus and every jackrabbit. What thing bothers me the worst, though, on the last trip west, 2,500 miles without seeing a jackrabbit, where I used to count as much as 80 per mile. And the darn cattlemen there poisoning them all. Now they want to, the sheepmen too, now they want to kill all the eagles because they've done away with their rabbits, no more jackrabbits, so then they eat the young lambs and kill them as soon as they drop.
Mr. Neelan, let me tell you, now you see, you're getting into the part I can't use.
Yeah, but I was just mentioning that prematurely because it's something we need to think about and talk about, is they shouldn't get away with such stuff.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Well, you see, I worked up to that to get into the Western trips, and now we're up there with politics again, you see. And all I can do is just go back to the Western trips.
Well, go back to the Western trips.
Just like they were, you see, when you went out there and liked it and saw 15 jackrabbits every mile.
Yeah, now they got a bounty on them in Texas.
Those trips before the war must have been the good trips then.
Hmm?
Those trips before the war.
Before which war? First
or
second?
Well, didn't
you say... You went on the train then.
Second one. Ever since 1920.
Uh-huh.
About every other year on the average.
Well, those early trips.
Long trips, yeah.
That's when you saw 80 jackrabbits a mile.
In some places, not everywhere.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, you...
Those were the good trips.
You get into West Texas, and sometimes in New Mexico, and Colorado, Utah, Arizona, you find places where you find them that thick. I've counted 20 skins for a mile where they've been run over by automobiles.
Oh, don't tell me about that.
No, that all happens, but then that's not a drop in the bucket. When you begin to poison them, then you get rid of them all. Now they're gone.
Well, I like the live jackrabbits better. Now, you didn't see just jackrabbits, though, did you?
Didn't see any on 2000.
No, I mean, when there used to be all those jackrabbits.
Yeah, I'd get up in the morning early. I'd see as many as 80 till the sun got up. A little after the sun up, and I wouldn't all disappear at sun up, but about 10, 15, 20 minutes after sun up, you wouldn't see them anymore.
They all go?
They're all hiding, then they go to sleep in daylight. They come out at night.
Oh.
They don't come out, so in daylight, I'd have to count the dead skins along the highway to see how
many.
Well,
there's something else to see besides that, though, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, that's just one of the 100 things that interests me. Everything interests me.
Well, what else?
Well, birds, roadrunners,
roadrunners.
You know what a roadrunner is?
I've seen a postcard picture of one.
Well, that's a western bird. We had a few in California, not many. They're mostly a dry land, desert-like country where most of them are.
Mm-hmm.
But he's an interesting bird. He can kill a rattlesnake. He can run 25 miles an hour.
He'd kill a rattlesnake. You seen them?
Yeah, they're a very fast bird, and they'll catch him from behind and knock him in the neck.
Well, I thought a rattlesnake could jump backwards as fast as he could go forward.
You know, those creatures live together.
Yeah.
And they know. They can do things you can't think of. Oh, you mean, fast as lightning.
You mean that bird knows what he's going to do before he does it?
Oh, you bet he's got that. He has experience. He probably learned from his parents.
And you've seen him get rattled?
No, I haven't. But I've heard the competent people say they can kill a rattlesnake. But they kill lizards and other snakes, too. I guess they could and do kill rattlesnakes, maybe more than I think, because when one creature gets hungry, they'll do a lot of things you wouldn't expect them to do.
Mm-hmm.
They have to survive, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's only one of the things. And the plants, where the line of demarcation comes in, where one species fades away and another one comes in.
Now you can see
all
that.
Those things interest me.
What do you mean now? This,
trees.
This line. That's not like a line of one state from another.
No. It isn't a sharp line, but it is a line. How is it that I can tell the wife when we get into East Texas, it's time to see the scissor-tailed flycatcher? We might not go more than a mile or a half a mile in the car. There he is up on the wire, the first one. Got in their range. Sometimes they'd be 20 miles or 100 miles even before
mm-hmm.
you see one. But that'll be unusual. You'll be partly out of his natural range. Animals don't stay to a county line, as you say, or a state line.
No, I don't reckon they would. Well, now.
So it's everything I'm interested in. The grasses. One thing I'm much interested in is the miserable overgrazing the cattlemen do.
Hmm. Well, now, those grasses change.
Huh?
Those grasses, don't they? I mean, you don't find Florida grass out there.
Oh, altogether different grasses. Bunch of grass there. Altogether different. I've got California grasses growing in my yard.
You do.
The native grasses, the wild oats.
Well, now, if you can tell by that scissor-tail flycatcher, it seems like you could tell by the ground cover, too, where you were.
By the soil?
By the ground cover.
Oh, ground cover. Not necessarily. He's the kingbird family. He's he catches most of his food on the wing.
No, what I meant was what was the grass, the stuff that was growing.
Oh, the grasses. The grasses vary all the time as you go west.
Oh.
But when you get into, West Texas, we'll say. Say west of, west of Dallas,
mm-hmm.
or west of Houston, then you get more into dry country and the grasses begin to change. You get into western range grasses where it's what they call bunch grasses. It grows up in a little bunch, but they graze it so close that it can't go to seed.
Mm-hmm.
Then you eliminate. You don't have any more grass. A little bunch here and one way over there. A cow has to walk from one bite to the next. That's destructive.
Well, what you need to do is get out in the desert where you can just look at cactus.
No. You can destroy anything if you go out to destroy it. I was talking with an
old...
Well,
I don't want to go out and destroy him. I just want to take a look at
it. I was talking with an old cattleman. No, he doesn't want to destroy either. He just wants to get it, that's all.
Oh.
But I was talking with an old cattleman. I'd driven out in the rain some, and he was walking down the dusty
Texas?
Road. That was in New Mexico.
Hmm.
Walking down the dusty road, I said, "Brother, can I give you a lift?" Well, he said, "I wouldn't mind." So he got in. I took him down a mile or two. It was nationally owned. You and I owned that range.
Mm-hmm.
And here and there in a dry arroyo there, the government had put in a dam. You know, they have a cloudburst there and then no more rain for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a pool of water for his cattle. And I said, "Well, that's pretty good. The government supplied you with permanent water supply here you didn't used to have on this range. Yeah, but he says they won't let you graze as many cattle as I want. Well, I said, maybe you need to do that in order to keep your grass. Well, I could graze more than that. I know what he was thinking about. Get the last spear for me, and then the devil take the hindmost. I've been watching him. It's one of the things I'm interested in. So as you go along, you'll see where the grass gets so short and so stubby and so little of it, they put goats and sheep in. Then they never let anything go to seed. Then you have bare ground from then on. Destroyed the range completely. Why do you and I permit it? It's our land.
Yeah. Do you know a good number of people along the way?
No, I don't know anybody along there. I just study the country. I know what the people.
That fellow would just hitchhike.
I know what the people are doing. That's what I can tell what they're doing by a look.
Yeah.
Don't need to be told. But this fella here was just frank enough to tell me what I already knew.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to overgraze.
Well, no, it's not always been.
Timber people want to overcut. They're cutting your national forest clean.
Well, I know that, Mr. Neil. I was thinking.
What do you do about it? Anything?
I was thinking, it's not always been that way when you went west.
Been that way for 30, 40 years, 50.
There was a time when it looked pretty good.
Oh, it's been getting worse, I think.
Well, I know,
has.
But I mean, there was a time when it was
but,
pretty good.
But there's no reason for it to be destroyed.
I know.
No good reason.
But I was thinking, what we need to do is just kind of see what it looked like.
Yeah, well, I've seen what it looks like.
Well, you could tell me.
Yeah, I could tell you, yeah. But what good does it do?
Well, then I'd know, see.
Well,
and
what
I'd
would
what
you
to
do
doing.
About it if you knew?
Well, I'd have to find that out.
Yeah, everybody I talk to is either not interested at all or wouldn't say yes or no if he were asked. You wouldn't be caring that much. And it's our property that's being destroyed. Our range, our forest, our wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
Our salmon in the rivers no more. Why? Slide the cut clean on the steep sides, run the soil into the river, no more spawning for salmon, no more salmon in that river. That's criminal. But if you can buy the important legislatures in the Congress, they'll pass the law and let them do it. There's where our trouble is. Dishonesty. Selling out for a price. Why they do it? Well, we vote them in just the same. We don't care.
Well, that's kind of an endless subject, though.
Well, if you're interested in conservation, it isn't an.
Well, no, what I mean is to, you know, we need some information on you, and if we get off on that, it just won't help us any.
Well, that's information for one thing.
Yeah, the information, but it won't help us to get this thing done.
Well, you say specifically what you need, I'll write it down, and then I'll get it for you.
I just want to just. You're
just speaking generalities, but make it specific. I need this, 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 and this.
No, I just wanna 80 jackrabbits mile. You see, I won't see that, but you did, and you can tell me about that.
See what?
When you went west, 80 jackrabbits a mile.
Oh yes, yeah.
You can tell me that.
Yeah, that's right. And I told you something about destruction of the range too.
Well, I know.
But you say that's nothing you want to know.
I just want to, what things you looked at when you went west.
Well, I thought you just told me that wasn't what you wanted to hear.
I think we're going to go around in a circle.
Yeah, well.
Well, let me tell you.
When I said that, you said, well, that's not what I want to know.
Let me tell you. I'm probably mixed up myself now. So why don't we put that aside?
Well, you got a mean job to do. I appreciate that. Not easy.
Now, when you were extension forester.
Was.
Was. You went out with those county agents. You could tell me about some of those fellas.
Well, it's much different. There's different problems, but the attitude is always the same.
Well, I mean, there's that one fella that you used to ride down the road in the Model A in and do a Scotch brogue too. You could tell me things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What did you used to do with Blitch?
Oh, he had some hardwood timber down there at Blitchton in Marion County. And while he was here, I didn't have too much to do with him. Occasionally, though, I can't remember too much, because I can't remember was that Blitch or somebody else I helped. Maybe,
well,
one of his assistants.
Just pick up anyone you can remember.
But you want to know specifically what kind of service was given to what agent.
Oh, I just want to know some incident. It doesn't, just, you know, something
interesting. You probably want to. I'd better write that down for you. Because as I begin to search into it, I'll see more and more different things that I don't remember all at one time.
No, there's so many of them, aren't
there? Too many things, details, hundreds of things. That remember them all.
Didn't you know one of those agents better than all the others?
No, I do know some, but the great trouble is those I knew best of all are now retired. And
well, it doesn't matter if they're
retired. After 17 years, they're new.
But I just want to know about those.
The old ones, yeah, I know a good many of the old ones.
Well, what are
some? The good and the bad, and there's some that are hard to work with. Now and then one, but not most of them.
Who is that fellow that wrote that letter?
What letter?
That one that talked about you pointing to the pine from miles away and saying what it was.
Oh, yeah, that was Bob Norris down in Lake County. Let's see. Yeah. What's the county seat of Lake?
Lake? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
He had quite a bit for me to do. I planted some trees there in his county.
What? Pine?
He even planted some tupelo there and some sand pine.
Sand pine?
Yeah.
I haven't heard of that one.
You don't know sand pine. You ever see the Ocala National Forest?
Yeah.
Well, 99% of that is sand pine.
Well, I guess I've seen one, just
poor,
didn't know.
Poor short needle tree.
Yeah.
Poor saw, no other tree pine would do there.
Good Lord.
But sand pine is taking it. 90% of it's sand pine.
Mm-hmm.
And this poor fellow had the planting of.
Who was that?
He had 2,000 farmer there had 2,000. Slash pine. No, he had 2,000 seedlings bought. And county agent thought I might better take a look and see what kind of land they had to plant it on. I went over there and looked at it and I said, oh my gosh, I don't know. But he's got his trees, they're paid for. It seemed to me that was a poor type of soil to plant them on. Be too dry, too poor. But I said, well, maybe they'll do better than I think. So I told him about how to plant them and where.
Now,
only one place to plant them, he only had 10 acres.
That was just old sandy soil?
Too sandy and dry. So he planted them, and I kept up with them 3-4 years. 4 or 5 years afterwards, I forgot now, they were still not more than knee-high and looking miserable.
Mm.
And I said, I should never let you plant these pine trees here. Yeah, he says, I noticed you kept walking ahead, shaking your head all the time. I didn't know about that.
And oh, he was behind you? He was behind you?
He was behind me. I'd walk out and take a look here and take a look there. And I was sorry that he had his trees bought, or I wouldn't have recommended him planting it. Then I went to the edge of the Ocala National Forest, and I dug up 50 sand pines. I took them over there and planted them where the flash pine wouldn't do any good. In 7 years, they were almost ready for pulpwood. They grew so fast. They had better dirt than they were accustomed to.
Oh.
Well, that's some of the things that you do when you visit county agents.
Well, now that was pretty good.
Well, experiment, you know, the foresters couldn't tell you. They've never done anything.
No,
they
no,
just
you did
learned,
that with,
they just give you something out of a book, and that isn't enough.
You did that with Bill Norris.
Yeah, Bob Norris.
Bob Norris.
Bob Norris was a boy that always appreciated things that you did for him. Then
he was.
He had some land down there. A man had some land down there in the eastern part of the lake.
Uh-huh.
Way, well, let's see. The northern part, actually. This is north. Isn't this north the way I'm pointing?
I believe it's up there.
More like this?
Yeah.
This is more northwest.
Northwest, yeah.
Well, anyway, he is in the northern part, northwestern part of the county, and some land there. And he wanted to know, the man that owned it wanted to know what kind of pines to plant there. I said, well, the lower part that goes down to the lake would do for slash pine. And further up the hill, you'd have to plant longleaf pine because it's too dry for slash to do the best there. Well, that's just another indication of the same thing. Give them something that's practical that will work.
Well, what happened to that thing?
Oh, then I made him a planting of spruce pine there. That's the only ornamental pine that we have native out of our seven species.
Yeah.
And I put them off to one side from the sand pine, from the longleaf pine. They did beautifully.
They did.
They made beautiful Christmas trees. Somebody went in there just before Christmas one night and cut them all down and stole them all. There they are. So I said, never plant any more Christmas trees unless you got a fence around it and a bulldog with them. Steal, steal, steal.
They took them all.
I've got the cedar trees out there at the Escambia County 4-H Timber Grazing Game Project. A lot of cedar trees there. The assistant county agent a week before Christmas had to stay out there with a gun every night to keep this going in there and stealing them and sell them for a dollar a piece. You get 50 trees there, and before daylight you're out and got $50 worth.
Yeah.
So you see, you can't do everything you want to do.
Now that was on that. That was in. Where those trees, where they stole those trees, that was in Norris's county?
Yeah, in his county,
oh.
But way over in the west. Where, I forget the name of the town. It's not far from, a little further west from where I planted them is where the owner lived. But I can't remember the name of the town.
Uh-huh.
But if I had the map, I could find it right away.
Well, where was your headquarters?
Gainesville.
Gainesville?
Yeah, I had my office at Gainesville.
Well, I think you know the county agents around here best of all.
No, I know them all just equally well. I spent this much time with one 350 miles west of here or 350 miles south of here. Get the same amount of time that I could spare him.
And you did that year after year.
Yeah, for nearly 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah, well, I don't mind that. You're interested in your work, you don't mind that. That's part of your fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of responsible for fun sometimes.
That's just something to think.
that you know that much about a whole state.
Well, yes, and 3 years of traveling every road and trail in every county in the state and studying the soil as closely as I did, that's something nobody else has.
That's right. And you didn't stay just on the paved road?
Off the paved road most of the time.
I can tell you about one little story
down there when we got lost. Didn't I tell you about it before? That was a foggy day. Russell Henderson and I, we were off a little northwest of Lake Okeechobee in the prairie country there. There's no trees much. It's all right bordering on the, what do they call the big cypress swamp there.
Yeah.
And it was foggy, you could never see the sun all morning. Finally, we were taking roads, old dim trails, you almost get stuck wherever you went. Finally ran onto an Indian camp there, a man, an Indian man with his squaw, and he had a few half-naked chickens, two or three, around his camp. There's no building, a little shack there, tiny shack. And we won't know, we don't know which way is north. No. Well, south. Where's sun come up? Oh, yeah. That, you know, if we knew where east was, we know where north and west was. And then we were all right. We had to get the Indian to give us this.
You couldn't even see which way the sun was coming?
We couldn't see the sun. It was foggy all day long. And you get nobody, not even an Indian has a sense of direction. Nobody does. Complete.
But he could tell you where the sun came up.
But he knew where the sun came up because he'd been there long enough, and he knew the sun came up over there towards Lake Okeechobee.
Oh, you're down that way?
Yeah, we were close to Lake Okeechobee.
Oh, I know that
the
area.
The big plains area there, semi-plain,
yeah.
Now and then.
And it's that rich black muck.
Yeah, lots of it. So, you have a lot of experience there if you're trying to do your job, but we wanted to know if there was any soil in there that looked like agricultural possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it forestry, or was it completely for grazing and range country? I was the one who had determined that. He just had to give it the scientific soil name, but the future use was my responsibility.
Oh, well, you must have had to talk to a lot of people along the way, too.
Not very often. Now and then I talked to an old-timer that had been there a long time, show him what we were doing, what we thought of the soil. I never saw one that didn't say it's about right.
You mean they pretty much agree with you?
Yeah, they'd agree. They never would disagree. They wouldn't go right to the line, but they'd say,
yeah,
in a generalized way, generally, this is what it's good for, and nothing else.
Now, Russell, he wasn't a county agent, was he?
No, he's just an old-timer that lived there all his life. That's the kind I like to talk to, people who've been there a long time.
Oh, I was thinking Russell Henderson was a county agent.
Russell was a soil specialist. He could name the soils according to their scientific name, and nothing else would he do. And what the use of it should be in the future, that was my responsibility.
Oh, I see.
Solely mine.
That's a good bit of work.
Well, you don't learn it in a day. You don't learn even a little in a day about such things. I had a long, many years of experience beforehand.
Would Russell go with you all over the state?
All over the state, every county in the state.
Is that the only time you all got lost?
Huh?
Or is that the only time you all got lost?
Yeah,
it's
the only time we ever got lost. As long as we could see the sun in the sky and boy, the position of the sun, you don't need to worry. But when you haven't seen the sun since you got up in the morning, And you've been rambling all around the north, south, east, and west, and pretty soon you don't remember which was east and west. They say not even an Indian knows. That's the reason he studied the moss on the trees and found out that the north side of a tree stem had more moss lichens on it than the south side, the sunny side. Then he found which way to get home. He had to do that. Well, I think we better be going, and I'll see what I can dig up for you by the counties.
What have they got in here?
Okay.
Are they in there?
I'll send you a list of what I can dig up. Along similar lines, you say?
Well, I see that little story about getting lost is the kind of thing I want.
Okay. Anything I think is might be
interesting. You know, this is, there are funny stories out there.
As I dig into one thing, another thing comes to mind.
Yeah, it takes a while to think
about
that.
But if you ask me point blank, then I'm...
Yeah, I know.
What is the better half for?
I don't know. Let me see if I can find out where they are.
Well, I'll do the best I can to get up something for you. Now, your first name?
Mine?
Yeah.
Mine's Rick. Rick.
Wait.
Rick. Like Richard? They just call me Ricky for short.
Oh. We used to call Richard Dick, is that right?
Well, my daddy's Dick, so they called me Rick.
Oh, Rick.
So they can tell us
the last name?
Reynolds.
Rick Reynolds. I can forget what. I'm feeling like if I forget again. But I'll try to get you a list of things that might help me out on that, because it's not too easy to job you've got there, and if I can be of some assistance to you, I'm of assistance to somebody in this state every day. And if it's too much, I've got to quit. You can't help everybody. You won't. But I'll try to get up something to you, Joe, just the same.
Has it
been raining?
Channel to over, around 800, about halfway through. And the end of this short visit, after lunch, Rick, I started out with him, but most then I left, was Rick and Mr. Nealon. Rick and Mr. Nealon, after lunch, this is Channel to over, around 800. That was Wednesday, the 8th of August, 73, Wednesday, the 8th of August, 73, and the end of the visit was Mr. Nealon, Rick and Mr. Nealon this time. Ms. Nealon and the rest of us were in Mamu's room after lunch, and the end of our nice long session, or short session after lunch, and pretty good session before lunch, this Wednesday, the 8th of August, 73.
did you want to take the scrapbook, or are you leaving now?
Oh,